Dámy a pánové, dobrý den. Já bych si dovolil zahájit tiskovou konferenci v
On security and defense, I'd like to welcome the Prime Minister of Czech government, Mr. Bohuslav Sobotka, also the President of the European Commission, Mr. Jean-Claude Juncker, and also representatives on NATO Deputy General Secretary, Mrs. Rose Gotemolo. I would like to give the floor to Mr. Sobotka. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad that Prague has become the venue of a discussion about the future of the EU. The opening of this press conference, I'd like to thank both the EU and also the NATO for having jointly this opportunity to host this important conference. Both the Union and NATO have faced over the past years a number of risks, dangers, and new challenges, be it cyber attacks, terrorism, wars, close to EU territory, illegal migration, and Europe has to respond to those threats. I'm very happy that in this area of defense and security cooperation, a great success has been made over the past few months that has been confirmed by the conference today that is gathered in Prague. And about the threats we challenge, we can do so only efficiently, only jointly within the EU, and also thanks to the cooperation between the EU and the NATO. I'm also glad that there's a discussion about quite specific projects that move forward this defense cooperation, be it the question of strengthening joint investments within the EU, the question of common armaments and procurement or training of our troops within the EU, or better joint question of civilian, military, and training missions within the EU. These are all the spheres where there has been significant movement so far, and I want to say on behalf of the Czech government, we support the strengthening of cooperation on the soil of the EU and NATO, and the Czech Republic cooperate very intensively in order to meet our fulfillment, which we have as member of the NATO. And I believe that this conference will not only appreciate the steps that we have taken so far in Europe, but also outline how to continue further on so that we can respond to the desires and wishes of our citizens. The people in the Czech Republic and other countries of the EU clearly wish that we guarantee their security in Europe. And if we are to guarantee their security, we are required to have intensive cooperation both in the EU and also in the North Atlantic Alliance. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Prime Minister, and the second President of European Commission, Mr. Juncker.
I'm happy to be here in Prague, not for the first time, certainly not for the last time. 1 year ago, something like that, the Prime Minister approached me to launch the initiative of today, and we as a Commission were very grateful to the Czech Republic for having taken this initiative. It's important in many respects, and it proves that this is a really pro-European country taking over responsibilities and wanting to play a central role in Europe. What is the natural role of the Czech Republic? I have seen in recent weeks that the Prime Minister was saying and repeating again and again that Czech wants to be part of this structured cooperation as far as defense is concerned, and this is prolonging a visible effort of the Prime Minister and his government to take over responsibilities and duties in the European Union. The Czech Republic joined the public prosecutor decision, which has been taken by the Union. 20 member states are on their way to put this prosecutor in place. Czech Republic is one of them. Some member states, some founding member states are not. For instance, the Dutch are not participating in this undertaking. And this shows that all these rumors concerning multi-speed are wrong rumors, fake news, as others would say. because the decisions the government has taken as far as defense is concerned and as far as the public prosecutor is concerned, as far as the European Patent Office is concerned, is proving that the Czech Republic has a central place and a central role to play. As you know, the Commission was launching a defense agenda in recent weeks, and last Wednesday we decided to put into place a European defense fund. This defense fund is contributing to reduce the inefficiency and the fragmentation costs we are facing dearly. And so I'm happy that the Czech Republic will be part of this undertaking. This is not a counter project to NATO. We are acting together with NATO. I had long conversations before coming here with the Secretary General of NATO, and that's the reason why I was stating this morning that no NATO is not an option for the European Union. It would be a disaster for the European Union, because we have to stick together, and we will stick together. So happy to be here and happy to respond to your questions.
Děkuji, poprosím nyní zástupkyni generálního tajemníka NATO, paní Guatemala.
And now the Rose Guatemala.
President Juncker, it's an honor to share a platform with you here in Prague. Prime Minister, I wanted to take this opportunity to thank the Czech Republic for being a strong member of NATO. You have made a strong commitment to the alliance. And President Juncker, I welcome the continued cooperation between the European Union and NATO. I can't agree more with your words a few moments ago. Prime Minister, your armed forces are well known for their professionalism and dedication, and we truly appreciate it in the NATO alliance. Czech troops serve with distinction in Afghanistan with our Resolute Support mission. They also contribute to NATO's KFOR peacekeeping operation in Kosovo. Last month in Brussels, NATO leaders took important decisions on improving burden sharing in the alliance and on stepping up the fight against terrorism. NATO is now a formal member of the Global Coalition to Defeat ISIS. Allied leaders also decided to report annually on national plans, setting out how allies intend to meet the defense investment pledge that we all made together in 2014. And I welcome that the Czech Republic plans to increase its investments in defense. President Juncker, NATO and the EU are indeed stepping up their cooperation. NATO and the EU have jointly endorsed 42 specific measures to do more, and they are being implemented. Working together can help us to face threats in the hybrid arena, cyber threats, many of the newer types of threats and problems that we are grappling with today. NATO welcomes plans for greater EU investment in defense. A European defense fund will help to develop new military capabilities, improve cooperation, and reduce duplication. Stronger European defense means a stronger NATO. NATO is ultimately the guarantor of Europe's collective defense, and the transatlantic bond remains the bedrock of European security. Allies from North America and Europe now have troops serving together in battle groups across the Baltic states and Poland. Two of these battle groups are led by the United States and by Canada. They demonstrate the enduring strength of the transatlantic bond. And I welcome the recent U.S. budget proposal to significantly increase their presence in Europe with more troops, infrastructure, and exercises. It's a strong signal of America's continued commitment to NATO and to European security. And from Norway and Iceland in the north to Turkey in the southeast, Europeans rely on non-EU states to keep them safe. Stronger EU efforts in defense are to be welcomed, but anything the EU does must complement and not compete with what NATO does. And as we face a more uncertain world, close partnership between NATO and the EU is essential. So, gentlemen, I thank you very much, and I look forward to your questions.
Děkuji, dámy a pánové. Nyní je prostor pro...
I wish to thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You can have now four questions, please. Who wants to be first? It's the Czech television company. Good morning, Kateřina, Czech television company. I'd like to ask the president of the European Commission. Important subject for the future of Europe are the British parliamentary elections, the result of which we happen to know at this stage. How, from your point of view, this result will influence the future negotiations about Brexit? Thank you very much.
Elections are important, not only in so-called big member states, but the one of yesterday was of a particular importance. I do strongly hope that Britain will stay ready to open negotiations. As far as the Commission is concerned, we can open negotiations tomorrow morning at 9:30. So we are waiting for visitors coming from London. I hope that we will not experience a further delay in the conclusion of these negotiations. First, we have to agree on the divorce and exit modalities, and then we have to envisage the architecture of our future relations. I do hope that the results of the elections will have no major impact on the negotiations we are desperately waiting for.
Děkuji, poprosím druhý dotaz.
Thank you very much. Next question, please. Hospodářské noviny, Economic Paper.
Hospodářské noviny. President Juncker and Prime Minister Sobotka on European defense, although nobody wants to sideline NATO, could you foresee for the future that the European defense can also take care of the territorial defense of EU member states, or is it just and will forever be just for the missions abroad? And on Brexit, due to the uncertainty in London, do you think that the EU27 might discuss the prolongation of a two-year deadline stemming from the Article 50 if Britain so wishes? Thank you.
Poprosím předsedu vlády, pana premiér.
I would like to give the floor to the Prime Minister of the Czech government. I'm convinced that NATO should also, in future, should continue to provide for territorial defense of its member states, also within Europe. It means territorial defense is one of the key functionalities of the North Atlantic Alliance in the framework of collective security which NATO bases and guarantees for its countries. And I'm convinced that in the framework of European defense and defense cooperation, we should primarily concentrate on the question of missions, be it peacekeeping missions or military training missions or military missions concerning the adjacent areas of Europe and stabilization of countries that are closely allocated to Europe. I think the migration crisis has shown us very clearly that we have to very intensely take care about what is happening in the Middle East and also of what is happening in North, but also Central Africa, because the events in those regions immediately and dramatically influence what is happening in Europe. And we should also focus to cooperation in defense industry, on efficient procurement, common training. These are the further areas where we can expand European cooperation, and this is no competition to NATO. And as far as your question to the British is concerned, I think what is worth your attention is that shortly we will recall 1 year anniversary of the day on which a referendum was held in the UK about exiting the EU. So in 2 days it will have been 1 year UK decision leaving Europe, and during that time the British government has not been practically able to open negotiations with the EU. I think that there is a larger readiness on part of EU about the definition of the position of EU countries, and the European Commission has defined its mandate, teams have been assigned, and today with the President of the EU Commission, Mr. Juncker, have confirmed that the European Commission is ready to start negotiations immediately, and it's a 2-year deadline. I don't think we should talk about some prolongation of the deadline. We should clearly come to terms with the British to start as quickly as possible with negotiations and to make use of the 2-year period. Mr. Juncker has the floor now, please.
When it comes to the relationship between EU and NATO, they are twins, and twins are member of one family. So it's clear there is no rivalry between NATO and the new proposals of the EU when it comes to strengthening of the EU defense. Pascal, the philosopher, mentioned, I like things that go together, that fit together, and EU and NATO definitely fit together. So before we ask ourselves a question about making some deadlines longer when it comes to negotiations with our UK friends, of course, first of all, the debate has to discuss Czech press agency. We heard that the common defense will require some framework, combination of national and European funds. Is the Czech Republic ready to go above the 1.4 of GDP until 2020? And whether, Mr. Juncker, whether the financing of the European Defense Fund will not be negatively affected by Brexit? So if I can, we of course respect the obligations that we have as a NATO member state. And again, individual members agreed or stressed their commitment to obligations when it comes to spending and the relation to GDP, and to decide when it's going to be more than 1.4% of GDP as it is at the moment. We, of course, have to get or achieve that goal. At the moment, currently, we are spending of about 1% of GDP towards defense. So we have to reach at least this 1.4% by 2020, and my goal is that the budget for next year and the outlook for the next 2 years will match this intention to reach 1.4%, and afterwards we will establish new, let's say, path to reach the 2%. Our ability to participate in European projects, I really welcome the initiatives, especially the European Defense Fund, the activities or initiatives that will help us to establish cross-border cooperation when it comes to defense industry, and once we of course increase the investments, we will be able to participate in European projects, and we already participate in certain European missions.
Thank you. The floor goes to the President, Mr. Juncker.
In 2014, I was telling the parliamentarians that amongst the 10 priorities of my commission, defense would be dealt with in a very privileged way. Nobody, or more or less nobody, did believe it at the time when I was saying this. And that gives me the opportunity to say that all those who are writing that the proposals of the Commission, the recent ones, are a direct consequence of the election of Mr. Trump as US President or a consequence of Brexit are totally wrong, because this is an ongoing process since June 2014. So far, Brexit does have no impact at all on the creation and the funding of the European Defence Fund.
Perhaps if I could add a word on this matter as well. I think that the President's mention just now of 2014, that is a watershed year for a number of reasons. It's the year that Russia seized Crimea. It's also the year that we saw the rise of ISIL and their seizure of Mosul. And it was in that very year that NATO at the Wales summit adopted the defense investment pledge. So I too want to stress that this matter of raising the commitment to national defense expenditure and to coherent and prioritized defense acquisitions is a matter that was really embraced by the NATO alliance in 2014 as well, and is absolutely nothing new that can be dated to November of 2016.
Děkuji, dámy a pánové, mám prostor na...
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. One last question, please. Reuters is the floor.
Nun, Reuters question for Mr. President Juncker. In your speech in the morning, you were talking about waking up the sleeping beauty of the Article 42 of the Lisbon Treaty. So my question is, when do you see this possible happening, meaning when some of the member states can start to implement the Article 42? And if I may, another question for Mrs. Gottemiller, if this cooperation, if this appears, this close cooperation of certain member states of the EU, how does that go together with, or where does the NATO stand on this? Thank you.
The triggering of the enhanced cooperation in the defense area is not a decision which has to be taken by the European Commission. This is a decision to be taken by member states, and we do support member states to take this initiative as soon as possible.
Děkuji. Poprosím paní
Thank you. Mrs. Gottemiller has the floor.
I always like to remind everyone that 22 members of the EU are also at the same time member states of NATO. So I like President Juncker's mention of the same family. There is sometimes some strife among families. We have to take that into account, but there are also great opportunities for cooperation and necessary collaboration for the success and in this case, mutual defense of us all. So truly, we are quite positive and very, very supportive of the efforts that are being undertaken now in the European Union to develop more efficient and effective means to really strengthen mutual defense and security.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to thank Mrs. Gottemiller, also President Juncker, and also the Prime Minister, Jacob Parly. Thank you very much for attending this press conference.